been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. Happy Cinco de Mayo. It's 5/5/22. And, boy, we're going to have to figure out what's going on here today. It looks like the market has come to its senses a little bit today after the giddiness yesterday. So we'll try to figure out what's going on here. As right now, the Dow's down 550 points, 33,510. And, of course, it was up almost 1,000 yesterday. So here we go. Here we go on that roller coaster ride once again that we've seen a lot of lately. The NASDAQ's down 3.1%. I got to believe it's interest rates jumping here today. And I got to believe there's some macro calls out there on the street after the Fed announcement yesterday. S&P's down 2%. It was up 3% yesterday, down 2% today. Well, we warned the folks, Barry, strap in, buckle your seatbelts, because this is Fed week. We've got oil was way up this morning. It was over $110 per barrel. It's still there.
Yeah, interesting story on why. I'll tell you. I don't know if you saw it, but we'll talk
okay,
about it
good. I'm glad you got some insight here. 295 on oil, up 295 to 110.76. And I think the 10-year is definitely over 3 right now. Yes, it is. It's up 12 basis points to 3.04. I just wonder if the market is kind of questioning whether the Fed's got inflation, whether or not they've got this or not. Gold is up 26, and I've seen gold rally since that Fed announcement. It's at 1894. The 10-year's at 3.03. That's the high for the year. Bitcoin up 209 to 38,964. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. Barry, first let me glow a little bit about yesterday before we have to move to today. The Dow was up 932 yesterday. After and during Jerome Powell's press conference, the S&P was up 3% yesterday. The NASDAQ was up 401. And, you know, I've been focused so much on individual stocks here today. Do you have any reason why the Dow's down 600 right now?
Yeah, well, not in particular. I think the interest rate call is really, really the main piece there. I know that oil prices are certainly getting a boost today, based on I saw a report where the Biden administration is going to, I guess, purchase roughly, I think, 60 million barrels of oil over some period to begin to refill the strategic petroleum reserve. So as we mentioned, when they started draining the thing, that rarely works over
worked
time.
Worked for 2 days.
Yeah, it's usually kind of it's more of a political deal in the first place, just to say that you did it. Of course, they're probably going to be filling that thing back, at a higher price probably than what they.
I
paid,
hope he's
what they,
not
what they
a
got for it initially.
I hope he doesn't pay $110 per barrel.
To
Russia and the Iranians,
right?
Huh?
Yeah, that's what it is at the moment. Which is for oil, and we've certainly and been more commodity based in our portfolios. I think the good news is you're going to have some underlying cushion, right, for demand, right? So at least that's 60 million barrels that will be replenished over time, which will help help keep that demand function high, going to keep oil prices high for a period of time.
Yeah,
which
well,
is exactly I, what opposite of what they were going for.
Exactly. Yeah, they're getting the opposite result of what they wanted. Now you've got oil at $110 per barrel today. And I guess this move down in the market, we're not giving back everything that we gained yesterday, but about 70% of it right now. And I think that the big news coming out of the press conference yesterday was he poo-pooed and said, don't worry about a 70 basis point hike. Well, on the one hand, that was good news for, folks that like to buy bonds and equities. But on the other hand, the folks that are worried about inflation getting out of control, I think maybe they're thinking, I don't know if the Fed has this or not. Only time will tell if this inflation starts to cool down. But, he admitted that labor prices are going much higher, and we've seen several companies, Unilever, we've saw Brinker International, many companies this past week warning about higher prices. You had Lyft stock get pummeled as they say they can't get enough labor and they're going to have to pay a lot more to get people to come to work for them. And now you've got oil, which is one of the biggest inflationary items out there. It's 30%, isn't it, of the CPI?
And Powell mentioned, I mean, specifically, right, we don't control oil prices. So he, in his Q&A or statement, he was mentioning the fact that, there are certain pieces of inflation that we can't control, right?
Yeah.
And oil being one of them.
Okay, so, they can raise interest rates all they want, but if natural gas prices and oil prices continue to rise, and it seems like we're doing all the wrong things in that regard, that's going to continue to put upwards pressure on inflation. So this is a little bit wacky out there right now, and we're seeing, the markets give up about 70% of what they made yesterday. So there's not going to be any 70 unless oil continues to rise. They'll have to. The Fed is hawkish, but Powell dialed down the fear factor. And I thought that was a little bit of giddiness coming into the market yesterday, irrational exuberance. But I didn't expect it to give up this much. The Nasdaq's down 435. Now that's everything the Nasdaq made yesterday.
Yesterday,
okay.
Yep.
And we've warned about rising interest rates and the Nasdaq. We still have some exposure to the Nasdaq, but just the big stable tech stocks. The Nasdaq was up 401 yesterday, down 435 today. I would say that oil has a lot to do with it because that is stoking the inflation, going to continue to stoke the inflation numbers.
Yeah, and the thing that I think I'm looking at, and we'll talk about it on the other side of this, but we had some productivity numbers come in today, and they're, just awful, which actually kind of shows, that costs are rising, at the labor level. And the effect of that, and of course, that's what Powell mentioned, right? In terms of, what they're looking at in terms of employment being, full employment, and then also wages being high, and that's one thing that they need to kind of stamp out a bit.
Yeah. Well, the Bank of England doesn't seem to be too worried about inflation. They only raised their rates by 25 basis points, and of course, they're also catching the brunt of this rise. Natural gas. We talked about it yesterday. Let's look at the chart today, UNG. It broke out yesterday to a new 52-week high. It's pulling back just a little bit, but then you go to the ETF UCO, which is oil, and it's up 2.1% today. Then we'll look at the gasoline unleaded gas ETF. It's up close to its all-time high here, 52-week high. At $65.48. Bank of England raises by 25 basis points to 1%. That's a 13-year high. And then the other big meeting this week is today. I don't think that has happened yet. OPEC Plus. And that plus is Russia. They meet today with a small supply boost still expected. So we'll see if that has any impact on the oil prices here when OPEC announces their decision. But I doubt that It's already kind of built in, knowing what they're going to do. And guess who's buying more oil stocks or of an oil stock? Berkshire Hathaway buys another 5.9 million shares of Occidental Petroleum, OXY. Now, Buffett said very little over the weekend about the oil markets. He focuses more on individual companies, but he's a longtime shareholder of Chevron, and he continues to put money into the oil patch. Okay, when we come back, there's all kinds of news happening. This is kind of the biggest day of earnings season today. And then by tomorrow, we'll have about 90% of the companies in the books. How are we doing? We'll be right back. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the markets have stabilized a little bit here, but the Dow right now down 593 after being up 900 yesterday, and the NASDAQ, which was up 410 yesterday, down 424 today. Easy come, easy go. The S&P is down 2.3%. It was up almost 3% yesterday. Crude oil is down just a little bit from its high, but it's still at 109.71. 109.71. So I got to believe that that's going to translate to the gas pump here pretty quickly. And the 10-year is at 3.04. That's the high for the year, I think. I haven't seen it this high, but there it is today. It's up 12 basis points, and I'm sure that's hurting the bond funds once again. Okay, hey, Barry, I haven't looked at tipranks.com for a while. We got to crow just a little bit here. We're number 163 out of 10,097. I think that's our highest rank ever, which puts us in the top 1.6% of all the writers on Seeking Alpha and other bloggers out there. So anybody can go to tipranks.com and look up Bill Gunderson.
And that includes the big banks too, right?
Everything. Well, the other one is the big guys. Okay, there's 18,000. We're number 725. Okay, that's pretty good. I mean, 18,000, that puts us in about the top 4% of all of the big mucky mucks out there. Okay, now, wheat futures. This continues to be a problem. And now you're starting to see countries, India is going to hoard their wheat production. Wheat's up another 1.3% today. India has export restrictions. Chicago wheat futures scored their biggest gain in nearly a month on reports that India, a major world producer, is considering restricting exports due to a drought. They're having hot weather and drought big time over in India. Threatens its output. And, of course, we know what's going on in the Black Sea, where the wheat exports will be very severely restricted this year by the Russian war against Ukraine. And U.S. crops are also facing challenging conditions with slow planting of spring wheat and poor conditions of winter wheat. So it's not a good deal right now for wheat. Okay, now, where is the market really sizzling? Where's the economy really sizzling? In the energy patch. Energy Transfer, okay, they're a pipeline company. and they make money off of how much goes through their pipeline, the traffic in their pipeline. They have a relative strength of 95 and a PE of 11. But what they are saying is that their volume is way higher than usual across all segments, and they are raising guidance. So, you know, I've always said I like to buy areas of the market that are flourishing instead of struggling. You know, you don't have to look much further than the energy sector here in 2022. The company says it's moving more natural gas volumes than ever out of the Permian and the Eagle Ford formations there in Texas. So that's an area that's flourishing. Here's another area that's flourishing. Yeah, yesterday it was one of the lithium stocks. Absolutely.
Albemarle is doing.
Now look
and
today.
I never can say that word. I probably butcher it every time. But.
Yeah, now that's the North Carolina one. It's out of Charlotte, North Carolina, which is about 2-3 hours north of us. And Albemarle, look at that move today. Okay, they are a big lithium producer. Their lithium sales surged 97% year over year due to higher pricing. In fact, pricing of lithium is up 66% year over year. Inflation in the lithium patch. Q1 bromine net sales rose 28%. I was reading somewhere about a big chlorine shortage this year. Barry, there was a big plant down in Louisiana that made most of the chlorine that burnt down or exploded last year.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be a shortage of chlorine and the chemical stuff. There's just everywhere I look. Okay, look, our themes for this year were rising interest rates. We're at 3.04 today. Inflation. There's definitely no doubt about that, and shortages, and that's one of the reasons that we have this inflation, because the supply chain is still clogged. That's not the only reason, though. I mean, that's not the reason that wheat is soaring. You know, that's more about just the crops and the conditions in the world. Okay, another area that seems to be booming, vacations. Booking Holdings, which used to be Priceline, they beat by $170 million. BKNG, which is one of the great stocks of all time when it was Priceline, it's up 6.1% today. And we've heard from several of those, you know, whether it's the cruise lines, the airlines.
Airbnb yesterday, I think.
Airbnb yesterday, yeah. Marriott yesterday. You better book your vacation now, okay? It looks like it's going to be a very busy vacation season. Okay, and then the last one here before we go to break. This is another one of the fertilizer stocks, Corteva, which I'm pretty sure was spun off from DuPont. That's having a nice day today, okay, despite a Dow that's down 624 right now. Corteva is up. They provide agricultural products and supplies, germplasm and traits in corn, soybean, and sunflower seed markets. And I know that I want to say Ukraine supplied about 80% of all of the sunflower seed oil in the world. So you can take a look at Corteva, which is out of Wilmington, Illinois. Agricultural operations, dividend yield of 1%, forward PE ratio of 18, and a relative strength of 95 CTVA. All right, when we come back, what's the number one ranked stock in the app? I just want to mention it when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. I just thought I'd mention, because this stock was in the news today, Tourmaline Oil Corp. Okay, this one is actually, I think it's headquartered in Canada. It's an $18 billion company. Now, it has a five-letter symbol, Barry, TRMLF. TRMLF. And I do have quite a few, not a lot, but I added a lot of the foreign stocks to the app. I like to give everybody a fair chance, you know. And this has just been happened to have been the number one ranked stock in the app pretty much all week. And Tourmaline, I was looking at the numbers on this thing. Tourmaline is ranked number one out of 6,117 stocks, ETFs, and mutual funds. It is up 20% over the last month. Over the last 12 months, it's up 145%, while the market's up 3.3. It gets a momentum grade of A+. Okay, so if it had a relative strength number, the MarketSmith that we use doesn't have these stocks in their database. It would have a 99 relative strength in the William O'Neill system. And over the last 3 years, this stock has delivered 70% per year, while the market's 15% per year. Now you say, well, why don't you own it? Well, you know, you have a problem with stocks like this with volume. There's not a lot of volume in these stocks that trade on the pink sheets or foreign. I mean, it's a sizable stock. Let me just look at what the
volume's 25,000 shares.
And yeah, 25,000 shares.
Yeah. And it has a market cap of $17 billion. So it's not a small stock.
No,
and it still has low volume.
Now, an individual could buy it. You know, I buy stocks like that sometimes in my own IRAs and whatnot. But as an institutional investor that needs to buy several million-dollar positions, you know, we could never get into a stock like that. But I thought I'd bring it up because the reported earnings, and it happens to be the number one ranked stock. Oh, yeah, more bad news for Kathy Wood. Well, she's kind of gone from what some were calling the best stock picker in the market. She's down today. She's got another disaster on her hands in Shopify. ARK Funds is down right now 7.9%. She's hitting $48.32 after, you know, that ARK, ARKK, was up to 160, and now it's 48. Shopify plunges after earnings fall short. And I know that's one of her biggest positions. And the problem is, it's very simple. Shopify, even after this plunge today of 17%, Shopify's down 83%, or $83 per share, which translates to 17%. Its P.E. ratio is still 105. And, you know, that's if you look at the forward P.E., they're expected to make about $4 next year. It's a $400 stock. You've got a forward P.E. of 100, and you've got a relative strength of 5, meaning 95% of the stocks in the market are doing better than Shopify. Now, Barry, I'm sure you can remember we owned Shopify.
It was one of the great, I mean, one of the greatest growth stories, you know, even pre-COVID, right?
Yes.
And COVID just kind of, you know, we wrote about it during COVID and wrote about it before that, too. But, I mean, it was a great name to be in during coming out of COVID, where everyone needed to have an online, you know, presence or online shop in terms of you know, selling whatever particular items you want. But we also got out of it.
We know when to get out of it. Now, Shopify was one of the biggest winners of all time. In 2016, it was an $18 stock. It went to 18. 1,800. In 2021, it went to 1,800. And I want to say we sold it a year ago, January, somewhere in there. I could look it up. But, you know, I mean, her thing is she's a long-term investor. Like Buffett, she buys stocks and sticks with them through hell or high water. And it's mostly been hell for Shopify because of the rising interest rate environment, which really puts wind in the face of these kind of stocks. And even though it's still a fast-growing stock, I mean, the earnings are, the margins are still pretty thin. Their sales were up 41%. But when you've got a P.E. ratio of 100, that's tough. Okay, we sold Shopify. We bought it at 643. We sold it at 903. That was quite a while ago. And then I think we might have got it back somewhere along the way and sold it again. I don't know. We made money in it twice. And now the thing's at 400, and it's down $84 per share, and she's down 7% because of the plunge in Shopify. Okay, where are things flourishing? Apache. Although it's not Apache anymore. It's APA. APA Corp. Now, last night our San Diego Padres were playing the Cleveland. Do you know what their nickname is?
The Guardians. The Guardians, right?
Yeah, what's a Guardian? What is their logo?
They've got a bridge. So they get one of the bridges in Cleveland. They have these, I think it's two statues, one on each side of the bridge, and I think they're referred to as the Guardians, right? Which, that's about the extent of what I know.
So they guard that bridge?
Yeah, I'm sure one of our Cleveland listeners would be happy to chime in. But, yeah, it's based on a statue that's on a bridge in Cleveland. That's about the extent of what.
Well, I got a friend from Cleveland. He calls it the mistake on the lake, whatever that means. It was freezing cold. I'm glad I almost went to that game. We like to go to a few Padre games every year. Last year we went to Cincinnati, Atlanta, Miami. I wanted to go to Cleveland. I'm glad I passed. There was about 1,000 people in the stands. We watched it on TV, huddled under blankets. It was like 48 degrees watching the Guardians and the Padres.
The boys of summer, right?
Anyways, APA, I don't know how I got it. Well, because they changed their name. They were Apache. Yeah. Their website is still ApacheCorp.com, so I'm offended with that. But APA Corp, very nice earnings report. But, you know, we're in a market now. The Dow is down 769 points. I thought we'd gotten past the days like this. We had very quiet Monday, Tuesday, and then yesterday we're up 900 points, and today we're down. And Fridays are always bad. I think I'm going to call in sick tomorrow. Let's see what else we got. Callon Petroleum, there's another one where things are flourishing. We own Callon Petroleum. It was up. Now it's down 1.1%. You got to still be pretty bullish on this oil and energy patch because of what's going on in the world. And then the other one that's a disaster today, Wayfair. What's going on with these online retailers? Amazon.
Etsy had a bad go of it too, if I'm not mistaken. They're down 14% today as well.
Yeah.
So kind of them, Shopify, Wayfair, you know, a lot of those, shop at home kind of names, right? People want to get out and about and make their purchases in person at this point. So those, there's usually slim margins on those names and most of them, right, haven't necessarily, been profitable, or if they have earnings, they're not usually cash flow positive. Which is a problem, certainly in a rising rate environment, as we mentioned.
Well, there was a time when we owned the ETF iBuy, which is an online retailing ETF, and that thing is hitting a new 52-week low today. It was up around 140, now it's at 52. And let's not forget that recently Amazon reports earnings, and they lost money, a lot of money, in this most recent quarter. So, I think the shipping part of it's a big problem. I think their shipping costs have gone up. I don't think the that they have the inventory that they used to have because of supply constraints. And like you say, people are preferring to go try things on, see what they look like. A lot of times you open up that box and you think, ugh, that's not what I thought it would look like. Well, we do have some stocks jumping off the page. It might be some inverse ETFs. We'll see when we come back. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I've noticed, too, in the past, Barry, now the Dow's given up everything it made yesterday. It's down 900. I think after, you know, while he was speaking yesterday and the market is giddy, I think that's mostly the retail investor. I think the next day when the dust settles is when the institutions speak with the big bucks. You know, I didn't do any buying or selling. How could you have ever done any buying or selling yesterday, not knowing what the Fed was going to say, with the market all over the place? And then you got to kind of digest what he said, let the dust settle a little bit, and then go from there. To me, the market is saying that he's not doing enough to control inflation. That's just what I'm seeing here, I think. The market is saying, I don't think Jerome Powell's got this under control at all.
Yeah, and I think, you know, kind of two things. I think number one, I think it was a holiday, a trading holiday in Japan yesterday, so they're a big, you know, big purchaser of treasury bonds, right? Purchasers and sellers on both ends, and so they didn't even participate yesterday, right? While that Fed statement came out, and so, you know, you've got the 10-year up, you know, roughly 10 basis points today, right around 305. So you can see that there's been some selling, right, in the 10-year Treasury, and you know, to me, that's one piece of it. The other is productivity. I think we got some productivity numbers today, and it was awful. It was like Q1 productivity dropped 7.5%, the biggest decline since 1947.
Well, nobody can get any help either right now.
Yeah, and they're paying them. You know, they're paying folks more, right, and getting less. You know, they need more workers and getting less productivity. So what that tells you is your unit labor cost have rose 7.2% over the last four quarters. And that's kind of what, you know, what Powell was mentioning in terms of wages. You know, he's kind of mentioned the fact that he expects kind of a soft landing, but, you know, wages are the key piece of this whole thing because,
yeah,
you know, they're usually pretty sticky. I mean, you know, usually wages don't go down once they go up. So.
Okay, now, there are a few things that jump off the page. The number one that jumps off the page is one of our holdings in the bond portfolio, TBT. Wow, look at that. Okay, why is TBT doing what it's doing? Well, it's twice the inverse performance of the 20-plus year U.S. Treasury Index. That thing is up another 5.4% today. We're up 45% on this holding since we bought it, and I got to believe that if you looked in the app, its overall rank right now is 298 out of 6,100. So if your theme is rising interest rates and inflation and shortages, TBT made all kind of sense, especially to protect a bond portfolio. And TBT now has a relative strength of 96. It's an exchange-traded fund that's inverse the U.S. Treasury, the long bond. And obviously, we've talked about how the longer duration stocks and bonds are the most vulnerable. There's even a three time. If you think interest rates are going way higher from here, TMV is 3X. It's up 8% today. So the bond market is definitely saying today, you know what, Jerome Powell? You do not have this under control at all. This is a big, big problem. And the words that you said of your plan, the market doesn't have a lot of faith in what he said. We're seeing it in the bond market today, and we're seeing it in the stock market. Okay, the other area where I don't think they have a very good plan, not if they're looking to buy back 60 million barrels to replace the barrels they replaced. LPG is right in the center of all of this, okay? LPG is a global shipper of liquefied petroleum gas with 23 very large gas carriers. And, I mean, this is a direct play on the embargo that's coming against Russia. They're going to say no to Russian oil, and that means liquid natural gas is these ships are booked, and rates are going higher, and this stock is up 11% today. It's hitting a new 52-week high. This has been one of the most boring stocks in the entire market. LPG. I mean, liquid natural gas was really kind of out of the equation, other than, over in Europe with heating their homes and what. Now, all of a sudden, this is the hot ticket. Not only the companies that produce liquid or produce natural gas, but the pipelines that carry natural gas to the refineries that convert it into liquid natural gas. That's LNG. One of the stocks we own, and then it's loaded on to Dorian boats and others, players in this industry, and Dorian LPG Limited. Does that mean it's a limited partnership? I'm not sure of that or not. It could be. That's something you want to look at. But it's up 11.2% today, LPG, and in the app, let's just check and see where it's ranked today. It's got to be up there. LPG is ranked at number 674, but after today, it's going to even zoom higher. So those are the two that jump off the page to me today, LPG and TBT. And we are out of time for today. Who knows, Barry, tomorrow we could be up 1,000. It's a wild ride in the markets, and I just say continue with the theme that served us well so far. If you want to get the newsletter, you get 2 free weeks. I start working on it today. I start, firming up the portfolios, if there's going to be any changes this week or not. You can go to GundersonCapital.com to get 2 free weeks. And if you're really, really nervous about where you're at with your portfolio, whether it's someone else managing it or you managing it, there are a lot of pitfalls out there to watch out for. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.